Welcome to Wheel to Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by two smart, cool ladies who know medium to nothing about Formula One.
This episode, we'll be talking about the rainiest race of the season, Charles Leclerc's big disappointment, a sad day for Mercedes, and the ever-dominant Red Bulls rearing back for an exceptional 1-2 finish. I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go! The truth is, it's just two of us. There's no studio audience yet.
Not yet. But we actually have an accoutrement, an extra special thing for our fans, and it's that we're recording this podcast. Recording.
Yeah, we're recording it on video.
You can see us on video.
In the flesh and on the mic, if you're listening and watching on Spotify, which is exciting.
It's a Spotify-only feature. I don't know how I'm making it seem exclusive. So let's just get right into it. So we had our race, Imola, Emilia-Romagna.
Grand Prix. In Italy.
A lot of interesting things happening preceding the race. That's before, right?
Yeah, on and off the track.
On and off the track, which are really fun and exciting, including a photo that leaked to the press of Toto and...
It was on video.
I didn't even see the video.
During the qualifying, they were like, oh, are they fighting?
Oh, that's funny. Okay, I have to watch the video.
It was good.
Of Toto and Lewis bickering with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bickering, the context and content of the bickering are still argued.
TBD. No one knows. It's all internal team stuff.
Yeah. Nico Rosberg was like, I think they're yelling at each other because he seems to just want to stir the pot, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though there's a lot to yell about if I were either of them.
Right. Maya theorizes that they are yelling.
I kind of think they are, yeah.
I believe Toto when he says that we were venting to each other because my friends and I also vent to each other in a heated way. Like, we'll be agreeing heatedly with our pointing hands.
And on top of that, okay. Maybe, but I'm not super convinced.
Also, this week, Charles got his watch stolen by a couple of fake fans. They asked to take a photo with him.
Really? I didn't know that was the context. Girl. Wait, so how'd they just ripped it off his wrist?
Girl, no, they're Italian. They freaking pickpocketed it in this suave way.
You know what? Yeah, Italians are such huge pickpockets.
Okay, that's not right. Not all Italians.
#not all Italians, but I feel like when I've been to Italy, and also Zaylee studied abroad in Italy.
Maya, you almost got pocketed in Spain, right?
No, that was somebody else. But I feel like when I've been to Italy and Spain, people are like, be careful of pickpockets.
Yes,
hugely,
it's
huge pickpocketing culture.
I wonder if they knew what they were getting away with, because this was a $2 million watch. I'm curious if they were like, okay, Charles, expensive watch, or if they were like, if they knew what it was and if it was a coordinated attempt.
Like a Kim Kardashian situation?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I knew that.
They drove away on a moped and Charles tried to follow him in his Ferrari for a while and then they got off and ran into the woods and Charles was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting. The watch itself was very expensive. It was one of one specifically designed for Charles. It was called the Charles Leclerc of Richard Mille. So it is something that I would also hop in my Ferrari to chase. But I also feel like because the watch is so unique and so expensive, like I feel like it has to turn up somehow. Is that crazy to imagine?
I don't know. You couldn't
pawn that without someone being like...
No, but if the thieves are smart enough, which is like the Kim K situation, and I guess they ended up catching them, but I think they can also just sell it on the black market. Like when art, really expensive art gets stolen, it's like these secret rich people.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious what they're doing with it. Do they just want to walk around with a Charles Leclerc one of one Richard Mille? Or is it like they want to sell this? They probably want to sell it.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's an interesting story and I would love to follow that.
I was watching a TikTok about, it was a hate account basically for Max's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And they found this gossip and then I was directed, don't ask me why I'm into this. Don't ask me. But I went on Instagram.
Silly, why are you into this?
Don't ask me, I said. Okay. I went on Instagram to find where the gossip came from. It's an Instagram account where people basically submit what they think is happening in F1 secretly, anonymously. And this one guy was like, I've been sleeping with Max's girlfriend for years.
That's crazy.
But to me, it could all be libelous and just fake. But I thought it was interesting that Max's dad followed the account. And
after that came out.
Right. Isn't that super mixy for Yas to be doing that?
Yeah, and it all lines up with his character. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Is there truth to it? What is the purpose of... Maybe he's like, I'm going to watch this account and see.
I don't know.
Maybe
I think it's just evident that he doesn't trust. He doesn't trust.
He has to have ears on the on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Weird.
Also, in F1 news, Carlos, the other CNC, C squared, Carlos got an extension for Ferrari for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Matteo Binotto, TP, team principal. I'm going to call it TP. The TP for Ferrari always talks about how good of a pairing they are. He said, I have said several times that I believe we have the best driver pairing in Formula One. And so with every passing race, it seemed a completely natural step to extend Carlos's contract.
Yeah.
Super cute.
Carlos has had a lot of bad luck this season. Yeah. But one of the things that we've talked about is that Carlos offers something that a lot of drivers do not, and that he's actually a personable person and can deal with people in a seemingly it's hard. I feel like in a professional way.
Yeah.
A lot of these drivers are like babies. They never really grew up. They don't know how to actually deal with people. And Carlos seems mature.
He's Spanish.
And I
don't know. Spanish people like to talk to people. I have no idea.
And he also knows the car. He knows technical elements of the car.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the reason why he's being signed, not just for his performances, which this season have been a little bit spotty thus far, but for what he also offers a team off the track.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that the completeness of his presence and person and like who he is and everything he brings to the track, I think is a selling point.
Yeah, he's well-rounded, that man.
I always get so annoyed with people who are like, women just like F1 because the drivers are hot. It's like, do you not think that's not something that's also factoring into this entire machine of F1? Like, he's a complete, not that it's that important, but it feels like there are certain considerations when people are like, he looks like a Ferrari driver. He looks like a Mercedes driver.
Right.
There's like, aside from driving capabilities, like the way they look and present and interact, the personality of it all is something that is important to the sport.
Yeah. They're hired for a reason outside of just literally what they do on the track. The things that they're doing in the car. It's more than just the literal driver.
It's more than just a literal driver. And let us not pretend.
Yeah.
Let us not kid ourselves in saying that this is just a sport of zoom.
Another thing I wrote down that happened this week, Mercedes did a Q&A on TikTok and somebody asked Lewis, what do? How do you, when you're struggling, like mentally? And he's like, I just work out. And I thought that was so toxic and so... It's just so clear that man is not dealing with his emotions correctly.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, he was like, I don't believe in sports psychologists. Yep. It's like, dude, you need to go to therapy. Because I know this man is punching walls and I want to save his knuckles.
Okay.
I don't know for a fact he's punching walls.
Yeah, no, but it's...
But he's the type.
He has a lot of...
Pent up
frustration. and it makes sense for why there's a lot of things happening right now in the sport and with him in particular. So yeah, working out people... Yeah.
Yeah, people. He's like, I just go for a run and I get it all the aggression out. I'm like, bro.
I mean, people do use exercise like that. I know people who do exercise like
that. But that can't be the only thing.
No, it can't be the only thing.
Especially when you're Lewis Hamilton this season.
And this is another side note, but like I was a psych major in college. Uh-huh. And people, there's a misconception that like getting out aggressive feelings, right? Like breaking things, punching walls actually helps with your aggression. It actually makes people angrier. Like any of those kinds of like, just break something. It'll make you feel better is actually worse than not doing that.
I completely get that. You rile yourself up, bro.
Yeah, exactly. It's like something that aggrandizes your feelings.
You sent me an iconic photo of all the team principals at dinner this week.
I did. Yeah. It was, I don't know, a team principal get together, a big, big table filled with many men, many white men looking at one another. Not so lovingly. And I just thought that was kind of funny. I just want to know what they talked about. Yeah. I know that Christian and Toto were on opposite sides of the table.
Yep. There was like 10 people between them. Good buffer.
It's a huge buffer. I wonder if it's a game of telephone. Like Christian would hear something Toto said 10 minutes later.
What? What did I overhear? Yeah.
Be cute.
A couple years ago, apparently Toto hosted a dinner. He tried to attempt the same thing, have all the principals over. And he said the whole dinner devolved and they ended up arguing so badly that he ended the night prematurely. And
this seemed, I wonder if who organized it. It kind of felt like it could have been like through F1.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like a more personal house event would get a little nasty. Off the rails. Yeah. But I feel like if you know that F1's putting this together, you'll be more inclined to behave well.
A dinner at Toto's house, you know that
you're eating pulpa nickel. You're eating crispy bacon.
That nasty German breakfast.
You're eating. No, you would eat a. You would eat well, I think.
Oh, for sure. There's service.
Yeah.
The settings, even.
Do you remember in Drive to Survive when Botas visited his apartment or his hotel room in Monaco, it was, I think?
Yeah, he's like, I'll have your best wine. Toto's like, we can do it. He's like, I'm kidding. Of course, Valtteri Bottas wouldn't have wine in the middle of the day. He's like, no, it's too early.
The more I go, the more I love him.
Oh, Bottas.
So let's get into the race a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, let's get into the race.
The context of the race a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to say that this weekend was a long weekend. It starts with qualifying on Friday, a sprint on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then the race, obviously, on Sunday. What's cool about the sprint is that people can actually earn points. And this season, they bumped up how many points. So the winner of the sprint race got 8 points.
That's crazy.
That's a significant amount, yeah. especially in the early phases of this championship, drivers mm-hmm. and constructors.
I agree.
But yeah, Max started on pole. We're in Emilia Romagna. Mm-hmm. It is rainy. We knew from the start of the race, they were like, there's rain coming 20 minutes away.
Yeah. The rain was a little anticlimactic, I will say, in this race. It didn't really rain. Yeah. It barely rained.
It was a wet track.
At the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little wet, but the rain
never came.
Yeah. The rain never came. rain, go away.
A lot was expected to happen and didn't happen. It was like edging.
It took me a second to
For those who don't know, edging is a sensual technique that people do in the mid boudoir where they almost finish but don't.
Yeah.
And they keep doing that. And then when it happens, it's supposed to be like
beyond anything
your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And that was happening this race. It was like, it's about to rain.
What do you think about the rain? And it never freaking rained.
Same with, okay, if there's a safety car right now, what are we going to do?
What was that?
just to check in with the driver.
But I feel like I haven't noticed them, and this could be my own ignorance, but I haven't noticed them doing that in the past races, like asking.
Bro, I think this race
is how boring the race was.
Yes, exactly. It was so boring that they were playing radio messages that never would make a peep in a normal race, but it was so boring. They were like, so they were just playing messages that normally would just go unnoticed.
Boring.
I think.
Boring.
But there's 29-second pit stops in this race, so we knew from the beginning that these pit stops were not going to be cheap. Almost mm-hmm. a 30-second pit stop is crazy.
Well, it's really interesting because Daniel Ricciardo ends up doing this pit stop really early in the race, and people mm-hmm. were like, that he's like a guinea pig because of the accident that had happened. Yeah. He could afford to like do that pit stop and just see what happened.
Just to see. Because it's costly. It's so costly. Yeah. So you don't just want to try something
new. He could afford to try it, and then that information would filter up to Lando, probably.
There were 64,000 fans there. I thought that was notable. That's a lot for
Europe.
Okay, Tifosi.
Tifosi, Ferrari, love it.
This track also had this corner called Ravatta, where everyone was going crazy because the curbs are there. And
there's a big difference in elevation as well in this track, which was really cool to hear them talk about.
Just up and down.
Yeah, like up and down, hilly. Mm-hmm.
So let's go through the standings. We're not going to talk too much about qualifying and what exactly happened in the sprint, but just now, Leclerc was on pole. Max. Max was on pole. Leclerc second, Perez third. In fourth was Sainz. He drove from 10th to 4th to redeem himself in the sprint. So he started the race in fourth. He was on the path to success on this weekend. Norris and Ricciardo in 5th and 6th, respectively. And this was their best grid position this season.
Yeah, really good for Danny.
They got to start on the third row as teammates, which was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Valtteri in 7th, Magnussen in 8th. He lost a couple places in the sprint. He started in 5th. He was in 5th in the sprint. I'm sorry, he started in 5th in the sprint, but then he ended up in 8th in the end because he was the only driver on mediums, and I don't know why he would make that choice in the sprint, but he did. One of the only drivers. It was him and both Haas and then Latifi, which I don't know why Latifi be. We already know Latifi.
Latifi.
And then 9th, Alonso. 10th, Mick Schumacher.
Mm-hmm, which is his best ever grid start. So happy for Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey boy.
Russell was leading Mercedes today again.
As per usual at this point,
11th place.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tsunoda, he made up some plays in the sprint race, so he was in 12th. Tsunoda had a good weekend.
Really good for him.
Vettel in 13th, Hamilton in a paltry 14th place, bro.
Only his second time in like the last 10 years in that position.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vettel. Yeah.
The first time in a really long time the Mercedes didn't even make it into Q3.
That's crazy. The state of affairs. The state of affairs. I feel like we need a State of the Union talk from Toto. I really do.
They kind of do those they on do. YouTube, but not from Toto.
No, you guys need to watch. If you're interested at all in Mercedes team strategy and what's happening, yeah. you should watch their
debriefs.
Stuff on. Yeah, their debriefs are really good.
Yeah.
They really give it to you straight.
And then there's Ocon. He had a gearbox problem, but he made up 3 places in the sprint. So he ended up in 16th. Gasly, bad weekend. Bad weekend for, I was going to say for both AlphaTauris, but no, it was just him. Just Gasly.
Yeah.
In 17th place.
Yeah.
And then Alex Albon in 18th. Latifi's last on the grid. And Zhao.
Pit lane crash.
Yeah, he crashed yesterday, so he's 20th. And that's all you need to know for how the race started.
Yeah. That's basically all you need to know for the whole race, because very little happened.
All right, I'm Maya. Kidding.
But
Maya
still
came
very
in
little.
Like, this race was mad boring.
It was.
I'm like,
and
bro.
And Zaylee's going to go through, we'll talk about everything, but yeah. still, I still stand by the fact that it's kind of boring. Sorry. It was so long, 63
yeah,
laps.
Long.
So we start, and yeah.
Verstappen and Perez both get off to a good start.
Really good.
Ricardo runs Carlos.
Immediately. Off of the road.
Yeah. Carlos is in the gravel. Ricardo ends up in 17th place down. Why does Ricardo always bungle? Like, he always messes up. He bungles the start, bro.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
He bungles everything.
I feel like there's something about two things. One thing two things. One thing, reaction time, right? Like, that's a big part of how you get off on the straight. It sounds so sexual.
how you get off
on the straight. So one thing is like, how fast was his reaction time? How quick was that? And the second thing I feel like is about confidence. Like, you have to be able to start the race in a way that's confident. And if you hesitate, I feel like that completely can mess up your start.
Like, I was trying to leave more room, and that's how he made the mistake. I'm like, why are you trying to leave more room though,
bro? It was a really slow moving, like, it looked like nothing happened. It was very slow moving. It was just not very, I don't know. It wasn't even an exciting crash, which is kind of like, interesting, I feel like, in terms of his driving style right now and how it's kind of over careful it may be.
Yeah.
Not fun to watch.
So at the beginning, Verstappen's in first, Perez in second, Charles slots into third, Valtteri's in fourth. Magnussen
Lando
makes up.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say Lando did a really smooth overtake, I think, and ends up in
fourth.
Yeah.
Magnussen up to fifth from eighth. So a couple people really took advantage of the start.
Mm-hmm.
Russell was in 11th. He gets up to sixth at the first start of the race. Vettel came up from 14th to 9th. Stroll up to 10th from 15th.
Bottas moves ahead of K-Mag as well.
Mick Schumacher caught astray because of Ricardo.
Yeah.
He ended up also going off and ended up in the back of the pack.
Yep, 17th he falls back to from 10th, which is just a sad state of affairs.
And then we later find out Hamilton in lap 6 does a really easy overtake on Fernando. I'm like, yo, Fernando, the lion, he's supposed to defend like
not
a lion.
Lion.
How did he let Hamilton through?
That's sacrilegious to Max's fans, being that he's the lion.
No, both are the lion.
Okay, just saying. I'm just saying, I don't know, was he always a lion?
They be like, he defend like a lion, apparently. I don't know if he says
that. It's giving, I don't know, the racializedness of it is weird to me.
Fernando,
I guess
Orlando is Spanish. I don't know if that's...
Never mind.
No, but I feel like lions are unique to Spain. Like, when I think about the Santander logo, isn't there a lion in that bank
logo?
Oh, my
God, yes.
Kind of, or something.
It's very random that you say that.
Maybe lions are on, like, a...
He defends like a lion.
Some Spanish about that. Maybe Fernando is the only connection there. I don't know. The point is...
Let's move on.
He let Hamilton through very easily, but then turns out Mick Schumacher had hit him in the beginning of the race, and they just sort of discovered,
he has a gaping wound in the front
wound.
Of his car.
I had never seen that before.
Me neither.
You could see his
it's
insides.
It's like a skeleton. Yeah.
You could literally see his insides. I was like, where the car?
The metal was gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Shocking.
The chassis was...
Yeah, damaged.
Yes, very visible. Cool.
Leclerc gets ahead of Lando, so he ends up in third. I think Lando kind of let him through because he was like, this is not my race, bro.
Yeah.
Lap 12. We spoke about this before. Russell and Magnussen are going at it.
Yep. And Russell, I think, makes an overtake on Magnussen at first, doesn't stick, then it switches back. Then he does it again and it actually works.
Yeah, so Russell ends up in fifth. But because they're battling so much, Bottas behind him is just like, ooh, ooh,
yeah.
ooh, ooh, He's creeping up.
And this is something we've noted in other, maybe in other podcasts or earlier podcasts, but this year the rules are a little bit different. And so cars are able to stay behind each other for long, for longer amounts and they're able to get closer to one another. So I feel like that opens up these opportunities for, you see like this row of like three different drivers.
Yeah, which wouldn't happen before.
Which I don't think would happen before.
Degradation, tire degradation used to be so bad when you were following another car because of all the dirty air.
I was just going to say,
you would kind of have to fall back and recharge and sort of take your time at getting back behind someone because you didn't want to lose your tires just by following behind. But now drivers are just sitting behind one another like, I'm still here.
You have to think ahead. Like you have to think of the car ahead of you and then the car ahead of that car.
And for beginner listeners, because we got a note that we're kind of not really explaining things too well, I just want to say that the reason that Magnussen and Russell allows Bottas to get up ahead is because when you're racing another driver, you're losing time. You're trying to cover them off at the start. So you're kind of not weaving, which is not allowed, but you're moving more than you should be around the track. And especially
trying
on
to
this
stay
track,
wide,
they were trying to keep their tires cool because the they all started the race on slicks. The track was wet. So they were also trying to find the dry line. And so they kind of had to stay in this one
area of the road.
And so it really slows you down when you're fighting with someone and looking in your rearview mirrors and trying to be conscious of all that. And when you're fighting someone, the people behind are catching up. So you have to be strategic about when you decide to fight and when you decide to like let someone go. And maybe try to get catch up with them at another point in the race. That's a very non-technical way of just explaining.
No, I thought that was really well done.
Thank you.
Personally.
So then Bottas, because he's just following behind them as they're battling, he gets ahead of K-Mag and lap 14. K-Mag. I don't know if that's a well-known nickname for K-Mag.
I think it is. K-Mag.
I'm making sure I didn't
make that puts Bottas behind Russell. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. And they end up doing a little dance for some time. A little dance for kind of here on out for the rest of the race.
Vettel makes a mistake, but he quickly, like, he goes across the grass and kind of catches himself on lap 14 as well.
There's
but,
some pretty sad pit stops as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which I didn't see when Bottas had that bad pit stop. They talked about it, but I didn't watch it happen.
Yeah. So, right. So the pit stops begin when Danny is, like you said, he's the guinea pig.
Yeah.
So everyone's on slicks right now. The track is drying up. They're asking Hamilton, you know, do you want to switch? He's like, no, it's too early, man. Unfortunately, it's too early.
He did say unfortunately.
I don't know why he said that. But basically, no one wanted to be the first guy to go on intermediate. But because they had nothing, McLaren had nothing to lose with Ricardo all the way behind, they're like, all right, Ricardo, switch to intermediates just to see what you can do. And once he does that and starts putting in fastest laps of the race immediately, going green,
yeah,
going
he
purple,
did purple sectors, yeah.
Then everyone starts to follow behind. So Perez comes in. So does Vettel, Gasly, Albon, Bottas, Russell, Tsunoda, Stroll. And everyone has these poor pit stops.
Why is that?
I think they had trouble getting off the slicks.
Yeah.
It's just not a tire that people rehearse with, I think, as much.
Yeah. And you noted this thing about when you changing certain tires or sometimes other things of the car have to change.
Yeah. When you're going from slicks to intermediate tires, you have to also adjust the front wing. So it can be a slightly longer pit stop. And we saw that today.
Yeah.
Bottas has a bad pit stop. Lewis has a 4.9-second pit stop, bro. 4.9 seconds.
It's crazy.
Are you dumb da dum dumb?
And for our listener, yeah, I was going to say, for our listeners who maybe don't know, like 2.6, 2.8, like those are really good numbers for a pit stop. Yeah. But like,
you lose seconds. A second in
a
race.
Four is crazy.
It can take you, if you're eating up 0.3 a lap, it will take you four laps to get ahead of someone who is a second ahead of you. So imagine just losing 1.9 seconds, 2 seconds. That's 6 laps of trying to go faster than the person ahead of you to get ahead.
It's not.
And it's assuming that you're 0.3 of a second faster than the person ahead of you in the best case scenario.
And often the best case scenario is not what these guys, depending on the car, are racing with.
Mercedes ain't dealing with
that. Especially they do not have time for a long pit stop. It's
not
in the cards for them.
And then Ocon, you saw that girl? Ocon had an unsafe release.
Oh my God, yes! And he got a 5-second penalty. Yes, I forgot about that. Yes, because they nearly did they touch? I think.
I think
Lewis
they
and
touch.
I think they did touch. Touch, and they were like, "Oh my god!" The commentators went crazy, and then I was like, "Let me watch this," and it was mad again, anticlimactic.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything else to look at.
Yeah,
like, oh,
I was like, "What's happening?"
It's like 80 kilometers an hour, which is really slow for F1.
However, yes, they did touch coming out of the pits, and so he got a 5-second penalty.
And I think because Lewis's pit stop was so slow, when George came in, Mercedes was just like, we're not even going to attempt to adjust the front wing. So they had to tell him, like, bro, we're switching you from inters to... from slick tires to intermediate tires, but... I don't know if they just failed the flap adjustment and kind of like gave up, but they basically told him you're going to have a lot more, I think it's either oversteer, a lot more
understeer
during the race because we didn't get to adjust your front wing. So George was dealing with that the whole race and still did pretty well.
I read somewhere that he's the only driver to finish top five in all the races so far, which is pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
I hate to say it. No, I don't hate to say it that much, but it is impressive.
Well, I'll go ahead and say I hate to say it because I think George is weird.
Therefore, people are like, girls should not watch F1 because all they care about is personality. We're like, he's weird.
He is, though.
He is weird.
And I'm sorry, but personality counts.
He said, like, blimey today or something like that. Some weird, like, crazy Britishism. Not blimey. It was something else.
Bro is so weird. He's a clone.
He's so posh. I don't know. Is that posh?
It's posh.
Our British listeners, tell us. What is blimey?
Blimey.
Something else. Wasn't blimey, though.
I guess it's just a British thing to say, but to me, he's weird.
He is so English. Just crazy.
Vettel up into seventh on lap 24. Stroll was trying to get... So this is when there's, like, the train starts. It's not even a DRS train, because DRS isn't enabled, but it's just
we should have mentioned
car,
that.
car.
A lot of one stuff wasn't happening, and people were not overtaking too much.
I literally wrote in my notes, 13 laps of nothing happened.
This is so boring.
But I will say that during this time, between, like, lap 26 and, I don't know, lap 50, like literally nothing was happening, but Perez was going so fast.
Yeah,
bro.
He was performing really, really well.
He
it was really
is,
exciting.
I don't know that Max Verstappen is taking that dominant, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily in the bag that Max is the number one driver for Red Bull this season.
That's a really good question. No.
I just don't think that it's as that the distance between them is as great as it was last season.
That is definitely true.
Perez is I don't know if he adjusts he was saying that he worked with the drivers to adjust the car more to his style.
Yeah.
Maybe this new generation of cars just suits him better. But my man's doing well.
I like him. I think he's doing really well, and I think he also it's so interesting to see him play the B driver, which is always his role a little bit, and I'm wondering how limiting that is in this exact scenario. Like, what could he do if there was not a Max?
Yeah.
Which there has been, right? Has he won? Because the last race for Max was DNF. Who went? Yeah, oh, that was Charles. Won that race.
Charles won, but Perez
was
second.
Yeah.
Because Max went out.
Yeah, okay.
He's going fast. I think he out-qualified Max once this season.
Yep.
I just think... I think he does well.
Big gap of not really much happening, I mentioned before there was a little bit of a, not a tussle, but like between Bottas and George that was happening, which I just found that interesting to watch, seeing Bottas kind of hunt down George and having all of that the background information about their relationship. I was really rooting for Bottas in those moments. Were you?
I wrote down that around lap 35, Bottas was going faster than both Russell and Norris.
Yeah.
When he got on fresh tires. And yeah, I was rooting for Bottas. I love me some Bottas.
Me too. And in this section as well is when I think Max laps Lewis. And that's like all the commentators were like, wow, this is crazy that he had lapped him. And I think they asked Lewis about this afterwards. And Lewis said, what did he say?
I don't know.
I had it written down. Oh yeah, they were like, how do you feel about the fact that Lewis lapped you or Max lapped you? And he was like, I just think it speaks to how wrong we've got it. And that was his statement.
They asked Max the same question, like, well, how did it feel to lap this guy who was your rival last season? He was like, It's not special because they've been going slow all season. So. He literally said that. He's like, so they've been going slow all season. I don't get why it's not special. Like,
did you also hear that? Christian Horner said that Max had 8 championships. Did you hear that? I mean, that Lewis had 8 championships instead of 7, and people were like, "You were right. You need to say that's right. He has 8," and he had to like correct himself.
Sometimes I'd be saying that.
In my heart,
it's
8.
It both ways. You can count it as Lewis's first season at McLaren, where there was that whole scuffle with Fernando, and people say that maybe that could have been his season, or 2021. But like either way, he's almost had 8 2 times.
Yeah.
But back to the race.
Back to the race.
13 laps of nothing.
13 laps of nothing.
Perez makes a mistake. He goes over the grass, and now Leclerc is right behind him. And him and Leclerc and Perez, I think, had some interesting battles. Like, I thought Perez was doing a really great job of defending against Leclerc and just showing how fast and also masterful he is.
Masterful is a really good way of putting it.
Oh, thank you.
I think there's a lot of things you have to consider when you're driving and having someone on your tail like that. People are talking about you have to like kind of drive wide, right? Like imagining the car taking up a lot of space down the track, and just you have to be very agile.
Yeah.
And I think he was, and that's good to see.
Around lap 48, Yuki was up into 8th place, and he's driving so aggressively and well, bro. Pocket rocket done, literally launched into
so
space.
So funny.
Man's is so confident.
Didn't he like
now
yell over the radio? He's like, yeah!
Let's go!
Lewis, let's go, yeah.
He's so good.
Lewis is having a little bit of, he's staring lovingly at the back of Pierre's car.
Bro.
They're going back, not back and forth, but you can see Lewis like trying to do these overtakes. Yeah. It never happens.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Pierre is Team LH. Pierre is CEO of Team LH. But
the train was like Hamilton at the back, then Gasly, then Albon, then Ocon or Yuki Tsunoda, depending on like where they were. And it was just one after the other. And Lewis knew if he had DRS enabled, he'd be able to get past people.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the radio like, are we turning DRS on? Are we turning DRS on? Like, come on, where's he going? And the commentators were saying like, oh, this is a moment where last season all the principals would have been on that radio like, Michael, turn on
it's
DRS.
Toto. Michael's Toto.
But they can't do that this season. So it was just like quiet. And everyone's
We've said that as explicitly as we should have, but like for most of this race, there was no DRS, which I think made a huge impact.
Because it was wet.
Yeah, because it was wet. But
to
then
explain,
it wasn't.
Because it was wet.
But it wasn't that wet, guys. Zalea's more
I'm
team.
I'm kind of like, the commentators to me were poisoning everyone's brains by being like, if it were up to me, DRS would be on that. They'll be wondering why DRS isn't on. I don't understand why DRS isn't on.
They'll be wondering why. They do that, don't they?
They're like, they. It's y'all, bro. It's literally you, crappy.
They'll be wondering where the DRS is.
I'm like, come on, Martin. It's literally your opinion.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm just like, you're not looking at the same data and metrics that the race stewards are.
The race stewards on theweatherchannel.com.
Bro, I'm loving the stewards this season. Every time somebody weaves, Magnussen was weaving in the sprint race. They were like black and white.
I like
black
that.
Black and white. Yup. They're like, don't play with us.
It's interesting to see how Daniel's oopsie was not investigated, which I agree with, actually. I think it's fine. It feels like a racing incident, just par for the course. But yes, they've really been on their
SHIT. They're like, that incident has been noticed. We're investigating. Noted. Yup. Nothing gets by them. I noticed they were like, lap time deleted for Charles Leclerc. That's something that would just go and ignored.
Last season.
Even though he's, you know, doing pretty well, he's up in the front runners for the race, they're still paying attention.
Yeah,
they're
that's good.
Yup, it's so good.
It's exciting.
I trust them, and that's why I give them the Benny of the D when they're not turning DRS on. I'm like,
the benefit of the D.
Okay. They want it to be safe. They want it to be safe. I trust them because these stewards have been on it and they're paying attention. Mm-hmm. I don't think they didn't turn it on because they forgot, is what I'm saying.
No, I agree with that. I think they were being overly cautious, which is something that I don't know that we're used to seeing them be.
Yes. Yeah.
I think in the past it was like, they were like, who cares? I don't know. Yeah. We're just a lot more reckless. But I think now they're being overly cautious.
But girl, now we're getting towards the end. So lap 50.
Yeah. So hugely important that Leclerc spun out, right? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about, I was going to say that at lap 50, and everyone disagreed with this decision, Leclerc wants to go on to softs.
Mm-hmm.
He decides to put pressure on Ferrari. He's like, are we not going to go with plan D? Why am I giving a British accent? This man is French.
Yeah, so true.
Like, plan D?
They're like, no.
And they were like, no. But yeah. He was basically asking, can I pit? Can I try to either go for a fastest lap point? And best case scenario, get in front of Perez, try to get into second, do a little something there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, the commentators were like, oh, they're not going to do that. They're not going to risk it. Because why risk it and have a bad pit stop?
I was going to say a pit so late is so tough, though.
Yeah. And he decides to do it at lap 50. He goes on to softs, which shocks everyone. And it does what it's supposed to do. It puts pressure on Red Bull. All of a sudden, Red Bull, they were going to finish the race on intermediate
tires. Yeah, Verstappen wanted to pit.
Right. So then they pull Perez in to defend. And Verstappen's like, don't leave me out here.
I know. He was so whiny. I wrote that down. I was like, you are such
He's
a baby.
Like, can I come in too?
So whiny about pitting.
I don't want to be left out here. Can I come in? Lap 54. Lap 54, bro.
He and spins off.
Which is Carlos, they like put the camera on Carlos.
I saw that.
Back at the paddock and Carlos is looking at the screen like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's like, let's go.
I was intrigued by the spin that happened with Leclerc because he was able to keep driving. Like he spun off. Did he end up in the gravel? He did. Well, I think he did.
He spun off, he ended up in the gravel, and he kind of, like, drove past
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I say that to say, like, when people spin off, it's not often the case. I feel like they just, like, loop around and go, they just mm-hmm. keep going. I just mm-hmm. thought that was kind of, like, he felt very awake and with it in that mm-hmm. moment because I think he knew.
Yeah. He's a smart driver.
Yeah.
When he spins off, he gets ahead of Magnussen, then Vettel, he's up into seventh, then he gets up into sixth. And the whole time he's like, things aren't feeling right. Is dad okay? And
I know.
Like, you're good. Like, try to keep going. And that's kind of how the race ends. That's the last event
that I have.
Yeah, that happens in the race. So, shocker, he was supposed to end in third. He gave up a podium position to take the risk, to go on to softs, and it all went wrong for him. Because he was trying to go really fast.
Yeah.
He was setting purple sectors. He was trying to get ahead of Perez.
And he said in his, you know, whatever, post the race, he's like, I was too greedy. And that's why I ended up in this position. But.
It's the team's call. To me, it's the team's call. If he was on Mercedes would have been like, that's completely our fault. We make decisions as a team. I'm surprised that he's taking it in such like an individual way. Because the team was smart enough to be like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost appreciate the fact that this was like a weird call that Leclerc had a hand in making because I feel like these like really unique kind of zany decisions, maybe I'm just more of like a Yost team principal than like a somebody else. But I just think sometimes these things end up working. Like sometimes these like kind of crazy, should we do it? Should we not? Like I think they can have positive, I don't know. Outcomes. I like sometimes the experimentation of it. I mean, this did not end up well, but I just think you learn.
It's also like, to be fair, in the sprint race, they earned points. Leclerc got 7 points in the sprint race. It's not like he was going to walk away from this race, worst case scenario, with nothing because this mm-hmm. was a sprint weekend. He'd already known that he had 7 points in the bag. So, his call. Yeah.
His call.
If he wants to take the risk. So, do you want to go over the final standings?
Yes.
Max won by a distance, 16 seconds ahead of Perez in second. Then Norris, amazing. He bided his time. He waited. He was patient. Leclerc made a mistake, and now he's in third. He's in the podium position.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
He had a very smooth drive.
Russell in fourth, Bottas in fifth, Leclerc in sixth, unfortunately. Tsunoda in seventh, up from 12th, made five places in the race.
At the end of the race, he did this overtake on Vettel. That was just really great.
Fantastic. Vettel in eighth, Magnussen in ninth, Stroll in 10th, and then we get into the back markers. Albon in 11th, Gasly in 12th, Hamilton in 13th.
It's not okay.
Ocon in 14th because he had a 5-second penalty for the unsafe release, the thing that he mm-hmm. did with Hamilton in the pit lane. Zhou 15th, Latifi 16th, Mick 17th, Ricardo 18th, and Alonso and Sainz DNF. This is like Sainz's
second DNF.
In two races. He had 50% DNF rate, bro.
I'm hoping he makes it up because we need more Ferrari 1-2s, and I think that's going to help them. I think it's math. That will help them win the constructors. Like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just want him in second place.
I have to talk about right after the race. Did you see that they brought back the cooldown?
Yes! That was my.
What?
What did I have that as? That was my surprise of the day.
It's amazing.
Part of it was Charles in sixth place, and then the other part was seeing the drivers in the cool down.
What was your favorite thing that they talked about in the cool down? I loved when they were talking about their weights.
Yeah, that was funny.
Max is like, I'm 4.5 kilos heavier than both of y'all. Because he's literally a normal height. He's 5'11".
These other two are super tiny.
And Lando and Checo are like... Little men.
I like them talk. It's funny to watch them talk about and almost like make comments as if they weren't there or a part of it. Like them talking about Carlos is spinning out and they're like, yeah, you see, that's because he did this or this or this.
I mean,
or
Charles.
Charles is spinning out. Yeah. That's because he did this and this.
Like, Perez is like, the last thing I saw was him flying because he like flew over the curves. He's like, I just saw him flying. That's the last I saw him. He was gone.
That's really cute.
And they were kikiing.
Love the driver's debrief. I think it'll continue to be something.
Yeah, hopefully. Why not?
By the way, already there are memes about it. Have you seen the memes?
No, I haven't seen the memes.
Oh, great. There's like meme formats. Maybe we'll use one on Wheel to Wheel Pod, but good meme itch there.
Lando, when he came into the room, he was mad thirsty. He's like, where'd y'all get the water?
And Max was looking at the nondescript.
It's behind the helmet. Yeah. He was like, it's right there. The water's right there. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's funny to watch them interact like that. It'll never not be good.
One thing that they also showed was the drivers getting weighed, and it was funny to see. It would look like a line at the DMV. Like, all of them were like, oh, who's next?
Who's next?
They would
next?
Like walk
go,
up, and the machine
go.
Would be like, doo doo, and they yeah. walk off. I just thought that was cool.
You know what?
What?
No, it's just funny to think about how much weighing yourself is a part of, like, the sport. And there's so many other sports like that. MMA, you got to cut weight and all these other things. Yeah. I feel like for women, like, weighing, maybe not to project, but, like, weighing yourself and, like, weight
much more
is such a
touchy.
It's a much touchier thing.
Yeah, Lando Kimmy's like, I was a bit heavy. But, like, that's not something that he's taken. Well, who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I mean, Bottas.
Bottas, yeah, he struggled with weight.
There was
before.
A whole thing where Bottas talked about how he struggled when he raced alongside, I was going to say Michael Massey, Felipe Massa. Felipe Massa, and like was really comparing his size, and it made him kind of depressed.
Yeah, and also Lewis has talked about, he's like, I had too much sweets this winter break, and I have to cut down.
Yeah, just an interesting note.
In the cool down room, Max was also like, did y'all see those back marks? It was like a train. They were together the whole race, the people in the back. He was talking about the line. He's like, I had to lap them twice. They were all together. Like, they do deserve the race as if they're
not
racing. I guess they watch
it
over. I guess they watch. I'm curious what versions of the race they watch. I would assume that they're watching this much fancier version, but part of me thinks they just watch the, like, the Brundle and Crofty version.
You know, I was just thinking that because it feels like, in a way, there's one way of watching the race that I feel like is so much more technical, and that's looking at all the specs and like
the data.
Yeah, exactly. Like looking at the data. That feels like the boneless way of watching the race. And then the part with bones is like watching the full. The fullness of it.
You get the flats, you get the wings, you get the drums.
It's just an interesting way of thinking about it because I'm curious. Yeah.
Max and Perez were also saying, like, oh, I didn't want to pit. Why'd they pull us in? Because they wanted to stay out to the end of the... Well, I guess Max asked to, but they were just going back and forth about wanting to stay out and wanting to go back in. So it was just... It's interesting. That cooldown reminded me of probably how they speak to the team.
Yeah.
And so it's good at insight.
Yep. And it's good because you see it in a casual sense. It's not like...
Yeah.
They're talking about the data so much, but anyway.
Lando was talking about all the risk he took. He was like, I don't take that much curb, especially towards the end of the race. I'm not taking curb.
That
was interesting. Just hearing how that he's like, he took those risks towards the end. I'm not doing that.
I would like to see their narration of a race, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be so cool.
Everyone would.
And I guess that's what you get if you're a fan. Like, if you've been watching for a while, and for example, watch Nico Rosberg race, you might be like, oh, you might have that same effect. But I would love to see something narrated by, like, Lando, even Max, anybody. Yeah. I'd be curious.
You're going to hate what I'm about to say. I think that this season, Max Verstappen is proving to be a very likable winner.
Why?
Because, first of all, did you notice how Max and Checo decided to both come out at the same time?
No, I didn't really watch the podium, to be honest.
At the podium, they were like, you know, Norris is third, and then they announced Checo in second. No one came out, and then they were like Max in first, and both drivers came out holding hands.
That's
like,
cute.
We're coming out together because we're 1 and 2. But also, Max has this way of being really nonchalant when
he wins.
He's
very nonchalant.
He's
like, I noticed that.
It's not even like I did my. It says he doesn't even do the same thing that Lewis says. I did my best, and I'm just
guys
doing my
the
job.
Factory. Yeah, no.
But it's more like he's like, he just seems so even keel. And it's a different way to approach winning, but I just think there are some drivers that are very annoying to watch win or do well, and he's not one of them. He's not one of them. It hasn't been this season.
That's interesting. I kind of interpret the same data in a way that feels like I'm like looking at his smugness a little bit. I'm like,
I don't think it's smug.
Yeah, it's less, but he's personally, I feel like he's annoyed me less this season. I was going to also say, I feel like it's the fact that he's racing alongside or competing with Charles, I think is bringing out a different side of him than when he was with Lewis or yes. competing against Lewis. I think 100%. That's part of it.
I also think it's different that now that he's won his first title and yeah. there's less on the line.
Less on the line.
And it's not the freaking team rivals that they've been behind for a decade. It's just a different kind
of It's a different race. Attitude.
Yeah, it's a different attitude.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'll agree with that. Different.
And that is in direct contrast to the way that Toto is having to manage the personality of Lewis. Lewis is appearing very high maintenance to me.
He's sullen and sulking. And I'm sure you read about this. They literally, or Toto apologized to Lewis. You read that, right?
It was on, it was, oh, I didn't. Toto literally came on came on the radio. What did he say? He's like, I personally want to apologize. It's like, to me, I don't know what Lewis is doing to inspire this much high touch. Just, it's so clear.
It's very high touch.
Managing his personality and managing his mood. And to me, it's a little bit embarrassing.
The car is undrivable.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for me to have to watch when Russell's in fifth, bro.
That's what Nico Rosberg said. He was like, I think this apology was completely unnecessary. I don't understand why he did it, especially because...
To be fair, he did have a 5-second pit stop. That was one thing that the team did wrong.
Yeah.
But
I think if you're apologizing to like the champion that is Lewis, right? Yeah. Like, but he's not a champion right now. Like right now he's not driving like a champion even. So it's hard to like appeal to that entire, and that's a big pill to swallow. I'm sorry. I love it, but love you, Hamilton.
Yeah, we love you.
Call baby. Me. But yeah, he's not driving like a champion. And I just think there's this sense of embarrassment and shame.
And I already had this rant, but I literally wrote down that I'm going to have this rant again. Mercedes does not know how to act when they are losing. Mm. Mercedes does not know how to take risks when they are losing. My man's Hamilton literally started and finished in the same position. If it weren't for Ocon and that 5-second penalty, yeah. he literally would have ended in 14th. Bro, you're in 14th. You're not getting ahead of the DRS train.
Yeah.
You're out of the points. Hit him and go into softs. Why did he finish the race on mediums? He was on the same tire for 30 laps. Pit him and go into softs. He can try to do something with that.
I think they're risk averse. Like
But you can only be risk averse. There's only merit in being risk averse when you're ahead.
Something to protect.
When you have something to lose.
Yeah, and they don't have anything to lose.
You don't have anything to lose. You're in 14th place. You're out of the points. Do something.
It totally speaks to like the team attitude, and they're very careful. They're very careful as a team, and I can see that even in the things that we were referencing before, guys. These videos where the team principal, or not the team principals, but the race engineers talk about it, you can hear the level of like, and this is all very important, right? This is science, but you can hear the level of consideration, and they'll be like, we thought about this and we thought about that and that led to this decision.
Stop thinking, bro.
Pit the man.
Stop thinking. Stop with the strategy and this, that. Do you think that, what's his name on Williams now? The crazy man? The crazy
Yost.
Principal. His name is Yost Capito? Is him?
Yost. Yep. The one who
admitted to sexual assault on Drive to Survive.
Yeah, that the very same, yes.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
And look at Albon. Like, he'd be acting crazy. He's just like, all right, one tire.
They have to go a little bit more balls to the wall.
I'm like, y'all are acting like you're winning, but you're not winning. And honestly, I don't think they're the third fastest car, which is what they keep saying confidently. I'm like, are y'all
not anymore?
Because look at Haas.
No.
Look at Haas.
And I also find that, like, in watching these other drivers, there's a level of aggression there that I don't see Lewis driving with. Like, even when he was chasing behind Pierre, I was like,
doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Take more of a risk.
Yeah.
Take a different line. Do something extremely, like, try to do something different. Lewis got stuck behind Fernando Alonso for almost 10 laps in the last season in Hungary, where Fernando was the
almost
thing
won.
So that Ocon could win.
Yeah.
And Fernando, after the race, was just like, low-key, I don't understand why he was behind me for that long. He was like, he should have just tried a different line or done something different. Like, he could have gotten ahead, but he was just doing the same thing over and over again. And I think Hamilton, when he gets in a bad mood, he's done. He's done racing. He's like,
yeah,
I'm through with
it. It's
this.
Hard to apply the same. He has, like, yeah, in one way of looking at it, he does have like a winning driving style, right? Because he's won so many times, yeah. But that was with a different car.
It was with a different car.
With a different. Yeah, straight up with a different car.
I feel like
you can't
part
race
of it
the same.
Is he's tantruming to a degree because he's like, y'all put me in a bad car and I'm going to show you how bad it is, but you can't do that. Like, I'm going to show you that I can't get ahead, kind how, of. I don't think
I
he's doing it consciously, but he's in the car like,
it's bratty.
Look at this. Like, it's really not going. It's all you have at this point.
Yeah.
And Russell is in fifth.
Was that your takeaway of the race?
I guess that was my rant of the race. I'll put it as my takeaway. I don't know. I don't know if I have. What girl? What's your takeaway of the race?
My takeaway, much smaller, but part of it is that obviously. But I'm always so interested in like the disparate places between drivers because I feel like I'm seeing it more this season than I did last season. Where you'll have somebody who like Ricardo Lando, huge difference.
Huge.
Like they're not even close. Lewis George. Big difference. Even Bottas and Guan Yu, I was kind of going back and looking at some of the standings. Huge difference between, like, I don't know if it's the rule change that's really, like, bringing some of that out. I don't know. I'm just curious why that is. Why is that this season? That's it. That's something I was thinking about.
I don't know either.
Okay, you're going to a picnic.
Oh, gosh.
What driver is bringing... what driver... This is not even a game. It's just a question. What driver is bringing, like, the most expensive wine?
Hamilton.
Yeah, that might be... I feel like he's... I don't know why him being vegan would make him bring different wine, but I...
But you know who would bring the best wine?
Who?
Wait, why does being vegan...
Nothing.
Make-
it doesn't. I don't know. I was just kind of... I was thinking food in my head, actually, when I said that. But go ahead.
By the way, Hamilton's restaurant opened up in Times Square. Should we go?
Yes. But I didn't know he had a restaurant.
What? It's like a vegan fast food. Burgers and fries, but it's all vegan.
Okay, let's go.
Neat Burger, I think it's called.
Yeah. When I was in Australia, they used to have a ton of vegan fast food places, like chicken nuggets. And I was like, we do not have this in the States. So I wonder if it's more like an English...
situation.
Yeah, just like something that they have more readily available. I would try it though.
Best wine. I was gonna say also Carlos might bring not the most
expensive
wine,
but a tasty wine.
But a tasteful wine.
He gives me that he likes food. Maybe that's because of what I've seen him like when he and his family all get together. I feel like they would appreciate good wine.
Appreciate good wine. Bottas would appreciate some good ass wine too.
Me too. I think I agree with that.
All right, who do you think would be the most fun on a night out?
I'm literally looking at the list of drivers. The most fun on a night out. This is a preview into Vegas, guys, and Miami probably.
I have my person because he's just a regular person.
He's just a regular person. I think, you know what? This might be a different type of choice.
Girl, go ahead.
Ocon? I kind of feel like he would just like, I could see him. No, yeah, I could see him being fun. I could see him dancing, wanting to drink, having, yeah. I think
the
Ocon might be fun.
The only thing is that like Ocon is a lame. So I could see him letting loose a bit, but I don't think he would be the most fun because he's in his heart of hearts, he's a lame. Not a lame, but like he's a kind of geeky.
He's a little geeky. The geeky guys can get crazy though.
My choice is always Gasly because he's the ghetto
driver.
Oh,
yeah. He would be fun. Yeah, that's
a
good one. He's a regular person.
Gasly is like, he's listening to the most basic music. He's listening to the things that, you know, he's listening to the music that is top 100 on the radio.
Yeah.
And he's going to the club that is like.
The club.
The hottest club in the area.
Yeah.
And he's like.
He's dressing the cutest.
He's dressing the cutest. He just knows.
Gasly likes fashion, guys.
He would enjoy it.
Fashionista.
All right. That's our podcast. Please listen.
Subscribe,
leave
a review.
Listen to our primer episode if you're interested in learning more about.
Send us some questions too if you have questions, comments, things you want to talk to us about.
Yeah, if you want to see us do something different for the podcast, like don't just listen and say, oh, I wish these girls, it's almost good, but I wish these girls did this. Just tell us and then we can try to work on doing that.
Totally.
Follow us on TikTok at Wheel to Wheel Pod.
Twitter.
We will talk to you next time.
Meow.